It's good to be here with you all this morning and to see all of you here. Hope you've had a good week last week and enjoyed the rain. It has been great. And I've personally enjoyed the slightly cooler weather, and I'm looking forward to more of it as we move forward throughout the year. This morning we're going to look at the idea of worship. The idea of worship is an aspect of Christianity that is often misunderstood. I mentioned it before, but if we have someone visiting with us who may not be a member of the church, and they come and sit down during one of our services, they will immediately notice that a number of things are quite different from what they may get elsewhere. They may leave here and not truly understand the things that were taking place or why they were taking place. Sometimes they may think, well, that felt weird. That didn't feel right. I didn't really feel like that was a good fit for me or my family. I didn't really get a lot out of it. It just didn't feel right. But these ideas stem from a misunderstanding of what worship truly is and what the purpose of it is. Much of our world places the focus of worship on self, on us as the individuals, on me. That's why when you look throughout the world, much of the worship is getting extravagant, bigger, better. You know, not only years past in the denominational world, not only, you know, what was it? It used to be a piano, maybe an organ. Now you have your guitars, you have full-blown bands, and to the point where it's almost like a rock concert. Lights may be dimmed for better or for more ambience, and you get a motivational speech that may make you feel good. The focus is on the individuals. It is drawn away from God and turned to focusing on the people, and is more of an entertainment and something to make you feel good rather than truly worshiping God. Again, someone may go to something like one of those things I just described, a concert or where the lights are real dim and you get a nice speech, and they may make them feel really good. They say, I felt really good about that. I think that's the right place for me. I felt really close to God. But that's all it is. It's just a feeling. We often get accused in the church of negating emotion, not showing any kind of emotion, but that's not the case. God gave us these emotions, right? The emotions we have. They are absolutely wonderful to have, and there is an aspect of emotion in worship, but not in the same way as described above. Yes, our worship, it should trigger an emotion. It should bring joy to us to worship the Lord. It should be a joyous occasion when we gather here. It should make us happy to serve the Lord. Maybe we hear a lesson delivered, and it does encourage us, make us feel good, but other times maybe it triggers the opposite emotion. Maybe we feel shame in recognizing our shortcomings, that we have been living our lives wrong. That's not a bad thing, that's a good thing, because that pushes us to change. Our worship, though, should not be based around emotion or emotional responses. If we wanted to make people feel good for the sake of making people feel good, that would be quite easy, and that could be done readily, but that's not the point of worship. We can manipulate emotions. Proverbs 28:26 says, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Our hearts can be fooled. We can trick ourselves, we can trick others, and we can deceive others. We can trigger emotional responses quite easy. You see it in entertainment. You know, you get these really sad movies, and you don't go to the movie sad. You go to the movie, you're fine. But when you leave, you're in tears. Why? Because it's easy to trigger certain emotions in people. We can manipulate emotions, but we cannot manipulate the worship that God has prescribed. Again, much of this comes from a misunderstanding of what worship is. So what is worship, and what is involved in worship? Worship is something that is done by man. It is giving honor and praise to God. A definition that you might find in an English dictionary would read something like this. It would say, reverence offered to a divine or supernatural being, to honor or revere a divine being or supernatural power, to regard with great or extravagant respect, honor, or devotion. That may seem quite broad, and it is. That is a pretty broad definition. But it actually is not quite, it's not very broad once you start narrowing down that idea with what Scripture says. Jesus declares a couple of basic truths regarding worship in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. Here, starting in verse 23 of John 4, Jesus declares to the woman at the well, he says, "But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." Again, there are a couple of important things to note about this statement made by Jesus. First of all, we see worship involves worshipers. It involves an object of worship, and there is a proper way to worship. Worshipers. Worshipers are those who do the worshiping. It involves people. Worship is not something done by animals. It's not something done by anything else on this earth. Inanimate object, animals, it is done by people for a specific purpose. And it's not something done by accident either. All right, you don't just accidentally worship, and we don't worship all the time. It is something done purposefully. There is the idea in our world that everything we do is worship to God. Everything we do is worship. That is a false idea. Everything we do is not worship. Everything we do is service, or should be service, but it is not worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God." We are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, but this is our reasonable service, not worship, and there is a difference. Colossians 3:17 expounds on this. It says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Everything we do, it should be to serve God, yes, which does include worship. Yes, our worship is part of serving God, yet not all of our service is worship. Does that make sense? Worship is part of serving God, but not all of the service we do give is worship. They're related ideas, but not the same. Worship is to give reverence. It is to honor and praise God. Service is being obedient to the will of God. We can see a distinction given between these two terms back in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 4 and 5 when God is giving the Israelites what we would know as the Ten Commandments. In verses 4 of Exodus 20, it starts and says, "You shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in this earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth." And then verse 5, "You shall not bow down to them," that's, "you shall not worship them, nor serve them." There's a difference. There's a difference between bowing down and worshiping and serving. Another good example is in Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. In Genesis 22, we have the account of God testing Abraham. Starting in verse 1 of Genesis 22, it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." This is God's instruction to Abraham. God's test for Abraham to see how dedicated and loyal he truly was. This is the setting for what follows in the next few verses. In verse 3, starting in verse 3, it says, "So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. He took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." So the two of them went together. You see what's happening here? God had told Abraham to take his son, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. That was God's instruction, right? That's what God told Abraham to do. And what do we see in verses 3 and 4 there? We see Abraham doing just that, being obedient. This is his service to the Lord. He is serving the Lord through his obedience. But notice what he says in verse 5, what we read in verse 5. Abraham makes a distinction. He says to the young men, the two young men that he took with him, he says, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Notice that Abraham does not consider the obedience he displayed thus far in following what the Lord had asked him to do. He does not consider that worship. No, worship is something he plans to do distinctly. He says, "Stay here because we are going to go worship. We're not doing it right now in everything we're doing. We're not doing it right now and being obedient to the Lord. It's something we are going to go do, and then we're going to come back." Was traveling 3 days what God had asked him to do? Absolutely. Was that worship, though? Absolutely not. Because Abraham said he's going to go yonder and worship. Everything he did served God, but everything he did was not worship to God, because that was something he was going to go do. Worship is something distinct and special, something that we must set our minds to do, not just something we happen to be doing all the time and at any time. The object of worship, as seen by Jesus, is God. People for a long time have directed their worship towards other things. You can go back to the Old Testament and you can see for the longest time Israel struggled with idolatry. Coming out of Egypt, right? God had just delivered them from this greatest empire on the earth. He was caring for them. He was providing for them. And yet they got frustrated with God. They got frustrated with the situation. They got frustrated with Moses as their leader. So they built for themselves a golden calf in Exodus 32, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord declared to Moses, saying, "Go get down, for the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" They built this calf and they said, "This is what brought us out of Egypt." And they worshipped it. Worship can be misdirected and it can be done incorrectly. God said they had turned aside from what he had commanded them. God had commanded them and told them exactly what he expected of them, and yet they turned away from it and directed their worship to an idol built by their own hands. But Jesus declared in Luke 4, 8, quoting Old Testament, he said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Worship that is pleasing to the Lord is to be focused on God and God only. Not anyone else, not anything else. Just God. And as Jesus declared in John 4, it must be done in spirit and truth. These are the two ideas that we're going to look at the rest of the lesson. Spirit and truth. This is where many in our world get things wrong. And if we're not careful, we can get it wrong as well. And what do I mean by that? Well, in spirit. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It is an imperative that we must worship in spirit and truth. We must do it. There's no question about that. So in spirit, what is spirit? We have to mean it. We have to be sincere about it. We have to have that proper mindset. Jesus declared in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." We have to have our hearts in the right place when we come to worship God. This is why In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, we read of Paul telling the brethren in Corinth this. He says, therefore, regarding the Lord's Supper, he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Apparently, with the Corinthians, there had been a number who had been taking of the Lord's Supper with the wrong mindset. Not really thinking and dwelling on the significance of what they were doing. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to truly dwell on that sacrifice that was made on our behalf. The body that was beaten, the life that Christ lived, the blood that was shed. We are to truly examine ourselves, have that right mindset, or as we see here, we're bringing judgment upon ourselves. We're just going through the motions. It's not only is there no benefit in it, it actually, as we see, you're just drinking and eating condemnation upon yourself. You've all seen it, right? Some come in, maybe not here, but you've seen it somewhere you've been. Someone will come in, they'll show up late, they'll slip in, sit on the back pew, take the Lord's Supper, get up and leave. You've all seen it. It's said like that. Yeah, it said they, take a chip, take a sip, leave a $2 tip, and then they're gone. Is that truly the right mindset? Is that the right mindset dwelling on the sacrifice that Christ made? Is that the right mindset in coming to worship focused on God and focused on worshiping God, giving Him reverence and honor and respect? No, that's coming thinking you're checking a box off, saying, I did my part, I did my duty. But that's not how it works. We have to genuinely have our minds right and be wholly sincere in our worship to the Lord. And I do think that's where some in our world do get it right. I wholeheartedly believe there are a bunch of people in our world who are completely sincere. 100% sincere in all that they are doing. They believe 100% that they are pleasing to God and they want to be pleasing to God. I think there's a lot of sincerity out there, but they lack the second part of Jesus' statement, the truth part. It requires spirit and truth. True worship demands both sincerity and truth. And this is where we have to be careful as well. This is where we often get accused of focusing too much on, as crazy it's going to sound, we'll get accused of focusing too much on the truth, but lacking sincerity. We know the truth, we know what God's Word says, but we still have to be sincere about it. We still have to have our hearts and our minds in the right place. Matthew 5, 8 through 9 says, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. We can have and say and act like we're doing the right thing, but if our hearts are far from Him, we're just condemning ourselves. Going through the motions but lacking sincerity is as much of a problem as having sincerity but not having truth. You cannot effectively and correctly worship God without both. So spirit is sincerity. Truth is doing what is correct as God commanded. John 17, 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. From the beginning, God has expected those who worship Him to do so as He has commanded it. That has never changed. You can go all the way back to Cain and Abel in Genesis 4 and see that God had expectations from man. Cain offered the fruits of the ground to the Lord. Abel offered the firstborn of his flocks. The Lord respected Abel and his offerings, but to Cain and his offerings, He did not. In verse 6 of Genesis 4, it says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you shall rule over it. God said, why are you mad? What are you upset about? If you do what's right, then I'll be pleased. But he hadn't. We don't know exactly what God had commanded of them in regards to their offerings, but there was clearly a predefined expectation, and Abel displayed obedience and Cain did not. God plainly stated, again, why are you mad? There was expectations of obedience, and that's how it's always been with God. When you carry that over to the law of Moses, we come across Leviticus 10 with Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu were priests. They were Levitical priests. They knew what God expected, probably better than anybody. And yet, in verses 1 and 2, we see that they offered profane fire before the Lord. And as a result, we read in verse 2 that fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Why did that happen? Because they offered profane fire before the Lord. They did something different than what he had commanded them. They didn't have the truth aspect of worship, of offering these sacrifices to the Lord. God had the expectation of obedience before the law of Moses. God had the expectation of obedience during the law of Moses, and it's only logical that he has that same expectation in the New Testament as well. We have to keep worship in line with what he has commanded. And how do we do that? How do we determine what he has commanded? Well, we have to get into his word. We have to get into his word and see what he asks of us. We can't just be hearers of the word and just hear what he says. We have to hear it and do it. We get into his word, we see what it says, and we have to do that. James 1, 22 through 25. And as we've seen with John 4, the expectation is spirit and truth, sincerity and obedience. In Ezekiel chapter 33, we have an example of, I think, what many in our world have done. Starting in verse 30 of Ezekiel 33, we read a message from God to Ezekiel regarding how the Israelites viewed Ezekiel and viewed the message he was bringing. It says, starting in verse 30 of Ezekiel 33, "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of their house. They speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that has come from the Lord.' So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people. They hear your words, but they do not do them. For with their mouth, they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not do them." What's God telling him? What's God telling Ezekiel? He says, the people of Israel here, they're putting on this show. There's no sincerity here. They make this outward show of being faithful. They say, "Come, let us hear what the word of the Lord is today. Let us go hear what he has to say." So they come to Ezekiel and they come before him. They even sit before him as God's people, it's described. But they hear the message, but they don't do anything about it. To them, they hear nice things. They say nice things. Verse 31, with their mouths they show much love, but their focus is not right. Their hearts pursue their own gain. And how do they view Ezekiel's message from the Lord? They view it as, indeed, you are to them a very lovely song, and one with a pleasant voice, one who can play an instrument well. To them, it's just entertainment. It's just something that sounds good to them. They like hearing it. It's enjoyable to them. They show much love with their words, but their actions are far from God. Again, I think this is where much of our world is today. The idea of worship has shifted its focus from God to man. It's no longer worshiping God as God has commanded and offering up what he has commanded, but instead it has turned to, what can I get out of this? What can you do for me? How can I be entertained? How can I feel good? What can you do to make me feel better? We do not have time this morning to get into the details of the worship of church, the acts of worship. I've kept you late the past couple of weeks. I'm not going to do it today. We don't have time for it. Maybe we'll look at that over the next coming weeks, but the idea for today is spirit and truth. Those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is not just about feelings. Again, yes, there is emotion involved. It should be a joyous occasion for us to be gathered here together to worship the God of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, who has offered to us so much and yet asks so little in return. It should be a joyous occasion for us to come and worship him. It is something special, though. It is something distinct. It's not something we do all the time or that we do by accident. We do serve God throughout our lives and in all that we do. But worship is reserved as an action that we set our minds to specifically, and it is reserved for God alone. And it is to be done according to the way that God has commanded it. From the beginning of Scripture to now, we see that God has that expectation. And we have to be completely sincere in that worship, or we're just wasting our time. If we're just going through the motions, trying to check off a box, we're wasting our time if our heart is not in it. Worship is not time for us to seek something to make us feel good about ourselves, though again, if we are truly sincere and truly obedient, it should be something that does make us feel good and that we are doing what God has asked of us. That should make us feel good. But we shouldn't come here expecting to have something directed at us to make us feel good. That's taking the focus off God and putting it on us. We are here gathered together as the saints in Taylor, Texas, to worship the Lord, to show him the reverence, the honor, and respect that he deserves. So as we get ready to leave here this morning, and if you are here, if you are visiting with us, and the worship you have seen here today is different than maybe what you've experienced elsewhere, and you'd like to know more about what it means to worship God in spirit and truth, the spirit part, again, is sincerity. The truth part we find in Scripture. And when we go to Scripture, we learn that the New Testament worship of God includes singing, it includes praying, it includes partaking of the Lord's Supper, which we did earlier, it includes giving back as we have been prospered, it includes hearing a message from God's Word. If you would like to know more about the worship of the church and how to be pleasing in His sight, there are a few things you must do first. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You have to confess the name of Christ before mankind. You have to repent of your sins. It's turn away from the sins. Not, as we saw in our Bible class, it's not simply saying, I'm sorry. It is a true turning away from those sins. We have to be baptized into Christ so we can have the benefit of the blood that was shed on the cross for the sins of the world. And then after that, we have to remain faithful. We can't just go back to living our lives however we want. We have to remain faithful unto death, which includes continuing to worship the way God has told us to worship. If you have done these things and you are ready to be baptized, we are here to help you in any way that we can. If you are here this morning and you've already done these things and you're already a member of the body of Christ and looking for a place to call home, we are here to welcome you as your brother and sister in Christ. And if you have neglected to have the right mindset when you come to worship and instead focused on self instead of God and need to make things right, won't you come while we stand and sing the songs that's been selected?